Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Living Mythology, I am proud to bring you the Pep Talk with John Carl Pepe, one of our legacy shows whose destiny started elsewhere and continues here on our channel. Greetings and welcome, John. How are you today?
Excellent, Hercules, and how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to your show. You have an awesome repeat guest today, and I'm looking forward to the next chapter in his adventures.
Awesome. Thank you. And Hercules, I know it's been a tough week for you, man, and thank you for just working at getting this show up and running. I know there was a lot of technical difficulties, but you know, thank you for everything you do for your Mount Olympus podcast network. It is remarkable what you do, and then beyond that, of course, your civic mindedness is always applauded as well.
Well, thank you very much for your kind words, and I'll be here if you need me.
Awesome. All right.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the Pep Talk for Sunday, April 7th, 2024. Whether you're listening live or later, we are always happy to have you here. And we're going to kind of get a little bit right into it. I just want to do a little bit of a recap of last week. Some people can say that they felt the earth move under their feet. The sky did not come tumbling down. And a little weather forecast for tomorrow. Once I was in love, but now I'm only falling. Once I was falling in love, now I'm only falling apart. ... You know the rest. So yes, that's the big thing that everybody's been talking about this week. We're just going to move on. Before we do get into tonight's show, though, I do just want to reach out to a mutual friend of mine and tonight's guest. Constantine Maroulis. Unfortunately, his mother Constance has passed away, and so he is a friend in life. Has yet to be a friend of the show, but we've been working on that for a while now. But I just want to wish him and his family my deepest condolences. I know Stuart does as well.
Of course, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So she was a wonderful, strong woman. Always encouraged him every step of the way, and you know, it's just it's always a tough loss, as we all know. A heart goes out to his whole family and him especially. So let's get into it. This gentleman has been on the show four times now. This is now his fifth time, so that makes him a five-timer. So once I get that jacket back from Matt Damon, we're going to get that to you. I had a whole thing I wanted to do. It was going to be, like I said, I was going to get Matt Damon, Paul Rudd, John Hamm, Will Forte, because they were all going to be here tonight to celebrate you and your five time. And then you kind of like, don't make a too big of a deal out of it. So I fortunately Lauren reached out to me and I let him have them for Kristen Wiig's five-time hosting of SNL last week. So, but anyway, that's a huge digression and an inside
Lauren,
joke. I always love starting a podcast with an inside joke. So, So basically this gentleman really doesn't need an introduction, and I've definitely done a few for him, but we're going to go right ahead into it. This guy delivers magic every time he makes this stuff happen. He brings people closer to their icons and allows them to share personal experiences. I always say he has the best job in the world, but also he's just one of the best people in the world. He does prefer to work in the background and let the magic happen, but is always gracious enough to let us shine a light on him every 6 months. And yet, usually what he does do is take that time up to talk about how great other people are. And so we're going to let him do a little bit of that, but we're also going to let him take the spotlight a little bit at the end here. And I'm really excited for this part of it because this is something we've talked about for a while now. And, I can't wait to get to that part. But here we go, folks. Welcome back to the Pep Talk for an unprecedented fifth appearance. I don't know why he keeps coming back for the punishment and the abuse, but ladies and gentlemen, welcome Stuart Hirsch.
You know, we did that at the same time. Okay. Hi. How are you, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you again for coming back. You know, so this is has become tradition now. Basically,
yes, yes.
In April and October, you help put on one of the greatest experiences for pop culture lovers in the tri-state area. That is the Chiller Theater Expo in Parsippany, New Jersey. Check them out, Chiller Theater with an R-E because it's classy.com. And
yes,
basically, yes, you always... You bring such a great lineup every time. So we definitely want to talk about
that
a little bit, who you got coming at the end of April, with the 26th through the 28th.
Yes, at the at the Hilton in Parsippany, New Jersey. And I'm just a little part of this. You know, I bring out some really cool celebrities, but actually the major thank you goes to Kevin Clement, who's been – behind this from day one. This is his baby, and here's a guy that you know loved his comic book shows and loved these kind of things, and you know took it upon himself to make his own. And to this day, it is homegrown and home run by him, and that's why Chiller feels like no other convention. I mean, it's not a rigid, stiff. Like Javits Center, you know, where the celebrities get lost in a little spot called the alley or something. This is like you walk into the Parsippany Hilton, and these celebrities are wall to wall, all over the place. It's like a celebrity flea market. It's like all of your favorite people, completely organized, so you're not stopping them in bathrooms and restaurants for their autographs. And you can line up, you can see them online if you go to chillertheater.com and just look down the list, and there are some amazing, amazing names there, which I have a few of.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes, yes.
And one of them is a fait accompli that you achieved. It was a reunion of some beloved childhood icons for many. And that's kind of been a little bit of your thing, are the reunion appearances, which I think is great.
Yeah.
You had Perfect Strangers, the old show Zoom, and now you are bringing back the Magic Garden.
Yes, this is Carol and Paula of the Magic Garden. For all you people in the tri-state area that grew up watching the Magic Garden TV show, it started in the 70s, went on into the 80s, and it was just, they were everybody's friend, you know, just like, you know, children's shows could be. You know, a lot of children's shows these days are not as, you know, when you watch the Magic Garden, you were watching, they were talking to you. You felt like they were talking to you. And
they were they were hippie Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the same approach, but it was a little bit more contemporary and had the chuckle patch
and played a guitar,
songs and braids, and they hoped you had a real good time, and great.
Yeah.
It was a great,
yeah.
great fun show.
From
yeah.
the hello song at the beginning to the see ya song at the end. It was, it was phenomenal. And they're coming together once more for Chiller. They were there a few years back, and it was such a great, great appearance the first time that, they are back by popular demand. They are going to get up on Saturday night and start off the big live show like they did last time. And the
nice.
Room was packed last time, and here's all these guys, and a lot of them are like in biker garb, they got leather and stuff on. And I swear to God, there was a guy next to me, and when they started, and they were like, "It's nice to say hello, hello, hello." This guy, when they were done with that song, turns to me, honest to God, and says, "Look, I got goosebumps." And I loved it. I loved it. You could see it through my snake tattoo. Yeah, yeah. Whenever these people come, no matter, what size they are, what jobs they've had and everything else that has happened since they were kids, they walk up to the table and they become little kids again. And it's beautiful, the smiles that come over the faces, and they all have their own story, and a lot of times the hello song, they always end it by saying, hello Johnny, hello Stuart, but yet no matter how many times they were on, how many days they were on, they always seem to be running into people these days when they do appearances like this that say the classic phrase to them, "You never said my name." And so what they do is you can come to Chiller, and they will, like, they're selling their autograph there, and pictures with them and stuff. They will actually do the hello song. You'll do it on your own video camera in your cell phone, and they will sit on either side of you, and they will first, get your name real good, and they'll sing the hello song sitting on both sides of you, and then ended with hello, and they shout your name out, and it's something to treasure,
Oh, that is very really cool. Special. That is great.
Yeah.
It's always funny. It's just like, you never said my name. Oh, well, what was your name? It was some, really obscure name that like only five people in the world have,
But you know what? It's
you
funny
never said
because
my name.
When
what's your name?
This...
Olaf.
Yeah. And then what's funny is, they'll say this, and these are like older people, they'll be, in public places, hospitals, all kinds of schools and adults will be walking. You never said my name, Okay. Well, what's
carrying
your name?
Carrying with them for 40 years.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What's your name? Oh, my name is Bartholomew. Oh, okay, great. It's nice to say hello. Hello, Bartholomew. They'll just do it right on the spot, and they'll make your day,
Yeah.
It's
now,
terrific.
This,
Go ahead.
This isn't just a reunion of the two of them. I believe for the first time, you are reuniting the three main components.
What they have lovingly consented to is that if somebody comes to Chiller and they want to get the professional photo op, where they go into a separate area and there's a professional photographer and they take the picture and you end up with an 8x10 in your hand, they are bringing in Sherlock, the squirrel from the show, and he's going to be in that photo, in the professional photo op photo. You'll have Sherlock and Carol and Paula together, probably for the first time with their fans. They're doing something very, very special here. So if you are a Magic Garden fan, you wouldn't want to miss this opportunity to get this special picture of Carol and Paula and Sherlock.
That is remarkable and really special, especially for them to make the arrangements to get Sherlock out there, because I know he has very much been a recluse, has stayed away from the limelight. I think he had hard times in about the 80s, things kind of dried up for him. He had a tough time, and he doesn't do these appearances.
No. Actually, as far as I know, he probably hit it really big, and he's been living in a mansion, so he was like
sort of Greta Garbo. He was kind of a Greta Garbo kind of thing.
Sherlock will be showing up in his own little pink limo, and
Yes. So this does mark your second puppet booking at Chiller to date,
third,
if I'm correct.
Third puppet.
I know Robert Smigel and Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog, right?
Right, and now Sherlock. So that's third.
And Triumph and Sherlock.
Right.
who's
right.
the, who's
you,
the
you
first?
Said, you, well, you said this would mark my second. It's marking the third because we had the other two. We had Oogie with Uncle Floyd.
We had Robert Smigel.
Oh yes.
I forgot that you had Oogie with Uncle Floyd. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you didn't know.
Yeah. That's funny.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was making in our pre-talk show chat, I was making a joke about, you know, he's the puppet guy now.
Yeah.
And I said, if you can't get Floyd anymore, you get Oogie, you know?
Right. Well, you know what? It was pretty amazing when I brought Uncle Floyd in and I said to, you know, I had been booking Floyd over the years doing comedy nights, you know, because he's a brilliant stand up. And I hope he's doing well, you know, these days and improving in his health. But I brought him in. And right before I brought him in, I had a big conversation with him, and I said, you got to bring Oogie. And of course, Floyd was immediately like, Oogie, I don't know where Oogie's in the attic somewhere. And I said, you got to bring Oogie. And he's like, okay, all right, I'll look for Oogie. And I'm like, okay, all right, fine. Well, he shows up, and there's Oogie. So now Oogie's like on the back table where we're set up. And all these people are coming in, you know, and I have, you know, his stuff up and his banner and all that. And he's dressed, you know, to the nines in Uncle Floyd gear, you know, with the hat and the jacket. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people, I go up to them and I go, would you like to get a picture with Floyd? And they immediately go, oh, no. We see him all the time. We see him every week when he does his stand-up stuff. We're good friends with him. And I say, yeah, but he brought out Oogie for the pictures. And they go, he brought out Oogie? And they lined up.
That's
and
freaky.
I
want a picture with that freaky puppet. Yes.
I swear I have a friend that couldn't stop staring at Oogie. And he says to me at one moment, he keeps looking and looking. And then he says to me, he goes, it's like seeing the Beatles.
Yeah, when you know that puppet is there's something that really draws you in with that puppet because I think I've mentioned this. My dad did an episode of Uncle Floyd, and I was just transfixed.
Cool.
Because my dad brought me. It was like a whole thing. It was like a surprise. It was always whenever my dad surprised me with a trip to something I liked, he goes, I gotta go see a lawyer friend of mine. And I was playing you and your lawyers. And it was always like a trip to DC Comics. It was, you know, a trip to where they shot Uncle Floyd. And I got to watch my dad film a segment for Uncle Floyd. But boy, all I could stare at was that puppet. That puppet was just magical and scary and just everything that you wanted in a puppet like that. So you're the puppet guy now, which is great.
I swear. And, you know. I mean, you know, maybe
if,
one
if
day,
you
know, I'm sorry.
Oh, is it if for some magical reason you're ever able to get Tony Clifton back, you have to be like, well, you got to bring little Tony too.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be really cool. That would be really fun. Yeah, when I brought in Tony to Chiller, that was a night to remember.
Oh.
That was definitely.
Yeah, we've definitely spent some time on that, so we're gonna hold off on some more of that until October, because this is the year of Andy Kaufman, which we might hopefully have time to get into. One little thing that you said that you had experienced, if not, you know, we'll say that for the next time. But you're not only are you bringing Magic Garden Reunion, but you also have a couple other folks coming too, right?
Well, I have one other, and that is Danielle Brisbois, who was the little girl on All in the Family and Archie Bunker's Place, who then grew up and became a great singer-songwriter and released music in her own name and was also part of the New Radicals and was on that song, You Get What You Give. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's
Oscar,
really cool.
Oscar-winning
cool.
songwriter, Danielle Brisbois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so she'll, you know, I'm sorry.
Oh, so she'll be there this weekend as well. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if I had my druthers, I would have another one, but unfortunately, you know, things get postponed and things, you know, things happen. So
but that's,
I'm
you know
just
what? But,
super excited about these guys.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, there's always, you know, folks definitely go to the website, take a look, because there's a ton of great folks there. And, you know, a lot of these, you know, great little mini reunions that other folks are now doing, you know, so you get a really neat little fun stuff there. I know I noticed Fred Dreyer is going to be there. That's another guy that I met with my dad, you know, back in 1984. And that was a pretty funny story.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, that one I'll share with you private. But you know, and again, there's some other great folks, like good friend of yours, Butch Patrick Monster.
Oh, Butch, yeah.
It was always
yeah.
a good time, always a great to his fans, and just a fun guy to hang out with and talk to. And of course, again, yeah, Danielle Brisbois, who, I mean, I know when I was a kid, I had a crush on her. She made, you know, she made those later years of Archie Bunker's television shows much more palatable for a young man like me, or a young child like me.
I believe she had this whole thing going, like in like, you know, Tiger Beat magazine and stuff. Like she was in the
Teen
magazines too. Yeah,
she was like Girl Scout Baio. You know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There you go. And I just for those people that don't know, Butch Patrick was Eddie Munster on the Munsters.
Yep.
And Butch is going to be there together in a reunion with Pat Priest, who was Marilyn Munster on the Munsters. This is the original Munsters TV show from the 60s. So,
exactly,
so come out and meet
exactly.
those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were only granted a couple voiceovers in the whatever the heck that was that Rob Zombie did a couple years ago. But
new Munsters.
Chiller is such a great opportunity. It is at the Parsippany Hilton in Parsippany, New Jersey. Definitely check it out. If you can't do it at the end of April, you know, it's, again, also at the end of October, usually right around Halloween weekend or on Halloween weekend. It is just a magical, wonderful experience. If you and you see Stuart there, you know, with his guests, just give him a quick little hello. I think he'd really appreciate a quick hello. But he really does appreciate more watching you experience something that takes you back to your childhood.
Being
that is
happy.
Always why I,
absolutely. Yes.
That's why
yes.
you have the best job in the world. Absolutely.
I love enabling people to be able to not only, you know, I mean, people can throw in DVDs and surf the web and go on cable and everything and find, you know, all the old TV shows, but this is enabling you to meet them, to step inside the television and tell them, you know, my favorite episode, you know, and all that. And it's wonderful. And just to mention a couple of quick other names in case people, you know, still, you know, are like, well, who else is there? First of all, we did mention www.chillertheater.com to find out all of the guests.
Theater with an R-E, not an E-R, because, again, like
yes,
I said,
yes.
it's classy. So.
Yes, and for all you thespians. And, Lauren Chapin and Billy Gray are going to be there from Father Knows Best. But there's a 40th anniversary reunion of the Warriors that's going to be there. Oh, it's, I mean, the people that are there, and I mean, you know, I mean, a convention wouldn't be complete unless they at least had one day of William Shatner, who will be there on Saturday.
Never heard of him.
Okay.
Is that the guy that went to space?
He's that guy, you know. He's that guy. I think he did a Twilight Zone episode or something.
I think one or two.
Yeah.
I mean that guy. I mean, talk about a national treasure. Yeah. Yeah. If you get, he's
absolute,
like, I think it's a one day only thing. If you can hop on that, man, that's an experience. Absolutely.
But that same guy that's bringing him in is bringing in like Cybill Shepherd for her first convention anywhere. Which is just like, whoa. Like when I saw that, I was like, that's really cool. You know, I mean, look, bookers are bookers. You know, I mean, we all bring in who we bring in. But when people bring in somebody that's really cool, you got to kind of just, you have to acknowledge, you know.
Well,
I do. And I have that respect for my fellow bookers, you know.
Of course.
And Some of them are just what's that?
Well, here, because it has to be a symbiotic relationship, right? And that's the thing. It's like if somebody comes for Shatner, they stay for the Magic Garden, right? That while they're there, and then they're like, oh, and look, this is here, there, and this is here too, or you know. So I think that's the other thing, is that you guys can book in a way that it does feed into what the other. Like, it should definitely be more of a team effort and not a competition, right?
Yeah, it really. It's just really, really fun and really cool. And there's just so many names, as Chiller always does. I would venture to even say that I think Chiller has probably the biggest lineup of celebrities of most conventions. You know, where a lot of conventions, you know, are just bringing out, you know, say a dozen people or even two dozen people. Chiller always exceeds that, and they're all winners, you know?
And it's a wide range, too. It's not focused on just one specific genre or one specific era. It really is just a wide range of pop culture. And you also can't discount the dealer's room at Chiller as well, because those guys, you know, it's a great, great way to, you know, get original artwork from people, you know, or just buy old collectibles. But those guys always bring their A game. And these guys do a lot of shows. They always bring their best stuff to Chiller.
I'm glad you clarified that, because when they heard dealer's room in this day and age where things are legalized, it's not like that. Okay.
That would be memorabilia. Called the dispensary room.
There you go. This is memorabilia. Things you grew up with, you know, posters and pictures and toys, old toys from the 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a celebrity at the show, chances are if they had something made, you know, with their name on it or their character on it back in the day, these guys in the dealer's room have it. Somebody's got it. And you can get it and you can bring it to the celebrity, and now you'll have it autographed.
Yeah. Although I don't know, do you think Cybill Shepherd's going to sign any pictures of her and Bruce Willis for Moonlighting?
Of course she would. Why wouldn't she?
Okay, you know, I always felt that was a touchy subject. I always heard their working relationship was not the best.
you know what it was. It's just like in any situation. I mean, look, you know, we love the Eagles. And it's terrific, but they dubbed their own tour the Hell Freezes Over Tour. And that's because they never wanted to get together. But now they were like, oh, you know, you can do this and you'll make a lot of fans happy and you'll make a lot of money with this. And so, yeah, of course, I can't see Cybill Shepherd coming out and not signing things for Moonlighting, despite what her personal relationship was. You know,
if it was on camera and
it's preserved, I think that's definitely something, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was just making a joke, but yeah, I think you're absolutely 100% spot on that. You don't want to alienate fans. You don't want to bring that to that people, right? If you wrote about it in a book, fine, but you know, that kind of thing always reminds me of this classic picture of Jack Nicholson, where he's getting out of a car or whatever. He's being mobbed by fans, and he's, you know, signing. And then there's one guy who's handing him a picture, an 8x10 of Heath Ledger as the Joker. And the look on Jack's face, daggers are like going through the sunglasses. It's amazing. It's one of the funniest.
Oh my gosh. That's a video clip? Is that a video?
No, it's just a still picture. It's just a still picture that is floating out there on the internet.
That is so weird. That is so, well, you know what? I mean, I had the original Banana Splits at Chiller, and there were people coming up with pictures from that horrible horror film that they did.
Oh, the horror
thing,
yeah. I'm not a fan of that new trend.
They were like, here, sign this. And they were like, you know, I told them going in, I said, if anybody comes up with a picture from this ridiculous horror thing, I said, just sign it. Why not? It's even a bigger collectible. And I mean, it is still the characters. It's just that we know that the real Banana Splits wouldn't have killed anybody.
There's that, and also it might be the characters, but it wasn't the actual performers from the original show as well, too, right? So,
well, that
you know,
too,
yeah.
that too.
Yeah.
You know, the Banana Splits appearance. That's another reunion, by the way, that I did. The Banana Splits appearance at Chiller was so cool that sitting across from us was Tori Spelling. And Tori came over with her kids who wanted to meet the Banana Split. And she
so
said,
fun.
I got to get a picture with my kids with the Banana Splits. And I pulled her over to the side and I said, is this from the old TV show or because of this current horror film? She goes, it's the current film. And I went, I said, all right, go ahead, just do it.
Fine, yeah. So you know, it's funny, we talk about, you know, the magic of recapturing your childhood and you know, growing up. And you were definitely somebody who I think just had such a great foundation. I think you were raised right. We've talked about your mother and how encouraging she was for you, setting out as a young lad with your Laurel and Hardy impersonation, and you know, getting you to, you know, being able to kind of be out there in that world and start, you know, the path that you are at now. And then your father, we've talked a little bit about your father.
Can I interject one little thing?
Please do.
Can I interject one quick little thing? So just recently, the other day, I went up to the Avon Theater in Stamford, Connecticut, where they were showing a screening of the new, the current Gene Wilder documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife, Karen, his widow, was on stage after the showing of this movie, and they were doing Q&A with the audience. So when I was a kid in 1966, I did about four or five Tootsie Roll commercials.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until a couple of years back, and I think we might have talked about this, but it wasn't.
You did mention this, yeah.
It wasn't until a couple of years ago that I just was bored one night and I searched on YouTube and I put in Tootsie Roll commercial 1960s. And there were my commercials. And not only did I discover the commercials, but I discovered that this actor who was on the set for one of these things, who had a manhole cover glued to his hat and was coming up from a manhole to duck the kids who were after his Tootsie Rolls, and we were yelling at him up in a tree, he was hiding in a tree, was Gene Wilder. And I said this on the microphone, you know, they handed me the wireless mic for my question to Karen. And I said this just the other day, and I told her about this. She had not known about these commercials.
Really?
And she had not even known that they were on YouTube. And I don't think the guy who did the documentary didn't even know. And here it was. What a cool feeling to say, yeah, here's another little piece of your husband doing something amazing, you know, and it's right there. You can go see it. Yeah.
And more importantly, you gave him his break. You know, he benefited from interacting with you in that commercial.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yes,
you
of
know,
course.
You
of
set
course.
That ball rolling.
I was that little kid, that 7-year-old kid with the big cigar. Yeah, that was me.
So you've always existed in that world, and that world actually did also include your father. But it's funny because I always thought, you know, it was your father that kind of got you into this world, but it was sort of the other way around in a lot of respects, that you were already doing this as a child before your father had really built his career. Now, unfortunately, we did lose your father.
Oh, no, actually, he was doing his career since the 50s. But,
since the 50s,
but
okay.
Yeah, but he never really it wasn't his doing that got me started in like commercials and stuff. That was my mom who just saw her son at 7 years old dressing up as Laurel and Hardy and, you know, doing all these impersonations and said, maybe I should get him a manager in the city. And next thing you know, there I am doing Tootsie Roll commercials.
Right. Yeah. And
my dad though was extremely helpful though, and my dad was always the one, you know, where I needed to go, he took me there, you know, he was the one that took me to the Lambs Club when I was the only kid that was allowed into the Sons of the Desert Laurel and Hardy meetings. And he was the one that took pictures of me with Mrs. Stan Laurel and Mrs. Oliver Hardy. And he's the one who drove me and picked me up in the middle of Harlem when I went to an event as a kid for the Globetrotters, you know?
Right.
it really was. My parents were so supportive and so wonderful and so generous with their enthusiasm and encouragement. Yeah, absolutely, both of them.
And they encouraged you and supported you, but never pushed you. And I think that is what is pretty remarkable. They let you decide. They let you make the call.
Oh, yeah.
At that young
Absolutely.
Age. I think that's remarkable and amazing. And now the other thing that is kind of amazing is we've talked about, so your father had a career in entertainment, and unfortunately we did lose him back in the fall, late October,
in November. Yeah.
In November,
yeah.
And, you know, my condolences again to you.
Thank you.
It was, it was always a sort of a wish maybe someday to bring him on to the show and talk with him a little bit. So we're going to talk about him a little bit because your father had a very interesting and illustrious career as a hypnotist, and he was Dr. Marshall King. And
yes.
First and foremost, I have to say, your father was a hypnotist.
Yeah.
You probably were the most well-behaved child ever. whether
you know,
it was by fear or by hypnotism, you were always on your best behavior. I have no doubt about that.
It's funny. The number one question I always got was, "Did your dad ever hypnotize you?" And I would be like, "Well, see, I don't see him in just the tuxedo, you know, with the beard and the, you know, oh, you know, you're going to sleep, you know." I saw my dad walking around the house in his underwear, you know, so it was like, you know, boxer shorts, you know, it's not. I was like, "Come on, Dad, yeah, right, I'm going to go to sleep." He couldn't get me to go to sleep on a school night,
The hypnotism was a role that he played in, you know, for appearances, but yeah, there was a man behind that, you know.
But he was real. Yeah, the thing is, the hypnosis he did was very, very real. And whenever he would do his shows, he would put chairs up on the stage and ask the audience to come up, and he would hypnotize just members of the audience, always, like he did for so many years on the Howard Stern show. He was one of Howard Stern's favorite guests and is even featured in Howard's Private Parts book, his pictures in there, in the Whack Pack. But he says clearly, Howard says clearly, not wacky himself, but makes others do wacky things. And that
was his
clarity of it. Yeah.
He was sort of the Professor X of the Whack Pack. He was, he was the leader, not a leader, but the guy, you know. Yeah, exactly.
But Stern
Professor
loved
X
him.
Is an obscure comic reference, I guess. You don't read comics, though.
Stern called him the greatest hypnotist that ever lived. That was actually a quote from Howard. And it was just it was a great relationship. Just another note on my dad. In the early 60s, my dad was the top cartoonist for Carvel, and
really?
And did their yeah. And I'll tell you a funny little story. If anybody is familiar with Carvel and familiar with Tom Carvel, who was the founder and owner of Carvel, if you ever saw a picture of Tom Carvel. Yeah, you ever seen a picture of Tom Carvel, you'd never forget it. He looked kind of like Ed Wynn, like Uncle Albert from Mary Poppins, but like with a big mustache. And my dad loved to tell this story where he said he was trying to – Tom Carvel says – "Draw me an ice cream cone that has a funny face on it." And so he's drawing one, and he shows it to him, and he's, "Not funny enough." And he draws another one, takes his time, and draws another one. He goes, "Nah, not funny enough." And my dad finally turns to him, and he goes, "You know, if I draw it with your face on it, it'll be really funny." So... if anybody wants
to
Google Tom Carvel,
he didn't hypnotize him into liking at least one of them.
No. He was a very talented artist, and he did so many things in his lifetime. He was a cartoonist in hotels in Miami Beach, Collins Avenue. He did caricatures, of people.
Oh yeah,
and,
fun.
Yeah, he was just such a talented guy, and I was very lucky to have him as a dad, because he was the guy that looked at this little kid's face and said, "Hey, let me show you Laurel and Hardy. Let me show you the Three Stooges. Let me play you Spike Jones. You know, mm-hmm. great stuff to grow up on.
And how did he come into hypnotism?
He was in the service, and a hypnotist named Ralph Slater came mm-hmm. to visit the service base and do a hypnosis show. And he was so mesmerized, you know, no pun aside. He was really taken by this, and he bought one of Ralph Slater's little books, and learned it and tried it. And next thing you knew, he was doing it in the service. You know, one of his best family stories was he had an aunt who was such a good subject of his. And he could just say sleep and snap his fingers and she'd go out. So she was cooking one day and he was in her home and she was making this casserole in a pot, and she opened up the oven, and without thinking, she grabbed the casserole and burned her hands on it and was like in a lot of pain. And my dad said, sleep, and put her out and said, you feel nothing. And then took her, you know, to go get to go get it looked at. But that's how amazing hypnosis is. I've seen him stop people from stuttering right on the spot. You know, where when he mentioned that to Howard Stern about stuttering John, he said, you know, I could stop stuttering John from stuttering. And Stern said, yeah, and then like, I'm going to have to fire him.
That's why he's here.
Yes,
not because I like him,
exactly.
Because clearly he didn't.
Right, so funny, but did a lot of good stuff.
I love that, you know, not only did he use it for entertainment, but he also used it for good, to help people. I think that's very admirable. I think that's amazing.
Absolutely. You know, in his show, somebody would say, you know, I want to quit smoking. So of course he's doing a show and it's got to be, you know, upbeat and comical. So he would have the guy, you know, under, and he would say, okay, at the count of three, I'm going to wake you up. And when I wake you up at the count of three, I'm going to give you a cigarette, but you're not going to be able to find your mouth. No matter how you try, you're not going to be able to. So the guy wakes up, one, two, three, boom, and he gives him the cigarette, and now the guy takes it and he pokes it in his eye, and he puts it in his forehead, and it's just – it was so funny. But,
and so
he did.
So is there any archival footage of him out there? Can someone search Dr. Marshall King on YouTube and be able
to
find some of the?
If you search Stern and Dr. Marshall King, what you will find is you will find an adult type of clip, very Sternish, that was done at Howard Stern's event at the Nassau Coliseum that he had a tennis thing going on, and so he called it U.S. Open Sores.
Yes,
remember
this, yes.
If you search Stern and Dr. Marshall King, you will see this clip of my dad hypnotizing a penthouse centerfold and doing things that he worked out with Stern in advance that you know, Stern got a kick out of. And just watch Howard during this clip. Stern turned into like this little five-year-old rubbing his hands together, you know, while he's
as opposed to the six-year-old that he normally was back then.
Yeah, right. The obnoxious six-year-old. Yes, yes.
Yeah. You know, and again, you know, sure. And I'm, you know, look, I mean, especially the era that your dad, you know, did start working in from the 50s straight through to the 80s and 90s, you know, you got to work a little blue, right? You definitely, especially, I'm sure he did the Borscht Belt, like, the, you know, the Catskills and that whole circuit.
He did, but you know what? He didn't do it. He didn't do it to the level of like a Stern thing. When he would do stuff, it would be very, very double entendre, very suggestive. You know, he would say, when I wake you up, you're gonna have an ashtray in front of you. When you look in the ashtray, there's going to be a little couple making love. You know, like he would do stuff like that, you know. And, of course, you know, he wakes the person up and they're glued to the ashtray. And the other guy next to him says, what's that? He says, show it to him. He says, no, I'm not showing you this. You know, walks away with the ashtray. You know, just funny stuff, really funny stuff.
Well, boy, I really, you know, it'd be amazing if by chance somebody is listening to this and they happen to have old VHS footage of any of these appearances by Dr. Marshall King. And if you reached out to us, if you could figure out how to do that, you know, we're pretty easy to find, I'm sure. Get those up on YouTube. I think that would be just, that would just be remarkable. I think that that is, you know, the kind of work that he did for the era that he did, that is very much a lost art. We see from modern comedians and modern magicians and modern comedy magicians. I think that that there was a style that that he did that just isn't done anymore. And you know, not only was he a wonderful and successful and influential entertainer, he was also a wonderful father.
He
helped raise a wonderful kid who is now
amazing
man.
And one last note on my dad. As far as hypnosis, there was a guy who kept coming to his shows, and he kept saying, please, please, would you teach me this? Would you teach me this? And my dad kept kind of putting him off, and finally he taught it to him. Well, that guy is still around today, and he's still performing as a hypnotist. His name is Gary Conrad. And if that sounds familiar to anybody, Gary was featured on the Opie and Anthony radio show.
Very cool.
It's funny how these things – kind of, you know, go on.
It's cyclical in some respects, because that, found, you know, which again, I know Opie and Anthony for a time, I think, were very much, you know, almost the radio wars, right, between them and Stern, but then they kind of took on a life of their own, especially when Stern went satellite. So, yeah, that was, that. Then there was, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, so now the top radio show, terrestrial radio show in the country needed a hypnotist, and there.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's also fantastic and remarkable about you, and today very fitting, I don't know if you are aware, today is actually National Tulip Day, Stuart. As we've talked about before, you. One of the songs that we've talked about that you have written was you had written for Tiny Tim of Tiptoe Through the Tulips fame, and you wrote "I Saw Elvis Presley Tiptoeing Through the Tulips"
I wrote it the way Tiny Tim would have said it. I saw Mr. Presley tiptoeing through the tulips.
That's...
Everybody was Mr. Mr. and Miss.
That is true.
You know?
That is true. And of course, you know, the song that I find is probably one of the greatest songs ever written in the 20th century. And I will fight people on that. Talked about to the point, where you say, oh, no. Yes, Disco Toilet. I love that song. And I think
Disco
that should
Toilet.
Be an anthem.
And both of these, by the way, can be found on YouTube. One of Dr. Demento's favorite songs, Disco Toilet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he actually had a birthday earlier this week as well. Yes. I want to do something really special for especially for your fifth show. And you were wonderful enough to give us three songs that and for the record, these are your original compositions. These are your original music.
Yes. Yes.
So we're not going to get slammed for any copyright or anything like that.
No,
unless
not
you
at
turn
all.
Around
not, I mean,
and do it. I don't know.
A couple of them were written. Maybe all of them. Let me think. I wrote with my best friend since we were 15 years old. My friend Larry Chipkin, who ended up doing Disco Toilet with me. We labeled it as Hirsch and Chipkin. So these songs are co-written by Larry, and I produced them, and I sang them, and. These have never been played on the radio.
So this is I didn't realize this is a coup. This is folks, this is the pep talk debut of original music by Stuart Hirsch. So we got three of them. We got I think just enough time for at least two of them. So we're gonna go ahead, Hercules. Let's play song number one.
Okay.
If I never said I love you, would you see it in my eyes? Or would the grass turn into ragged weeds and the blue desert the skies? If you never heard me say the words that mean so much to you, would you slowly start to drift away and think it was untrue? If I never said, if I never said, I love you. If I never said I love you, would it make you feel alone? Just to know we'd lack that closing line when talking on the phone. But I guess it's so much more than that. It's a hand, a heart, a home. It's a phrase that stays forever when all the other words are gone. I love you. I love you. Then let me take out that old and dusty cliche and say it once to you. I love you.
Wow, that was wonderful, man. That was beautiful. You have a wonderful singing voice. I think I misjudged you a little bit by Disco Toilet, because the rawness of that and the power of those vocals hear you do a ballad like that is just wonderful. What's the name of that song?
If I Never Said I Love You. And it's funny because at the time that I wrote it, you know, I did it just one of those things where I just made it up, you know, out of just the scenario of you know, somebody not saying I love you to somebody. But it really turned into such a beautiful song and, you know, influenced by, you know, the things at the time, the arrangements of like a Air Supply or a Manilow kind of a thing, you know, and the sax in there was, I sang it to the person that played the sax and they just played it out like a Billy Joel saxophone, which was beautiful.
Yeah, I love that sax breakdown. That sax
was
wonderful.
It sounded so nice.
Great.
And you know, it's funny, even though I wrote it back then, it still reminds me of my fiance now. You know, it's just all this beautiful song since we've been together has really been kind of like, you know, our song, you know, like we
oh, that's wonderful.
We think of each other. Yeah. She her name is Angela and she just came into my life. A few years back and she is just everything I've ever wanted. It's like God said, I'm going to save the best for last, you know, so
and
it's good.
And it's always important to never forget, you know, to say I love you, and that's wonderful that you have someone to say that to and to remind you to never forget, right?
And we say it so often. Oh my God, we say it so often, and it's still meaningful every time, you
right
know.
On. Cool. So we got about 5 minutes left, so I think we only got time for one more. So we're gonna play that, and then we're gonna come back and say goodbye. And look, this is my way of having you come back again in October, not just for chilling, but to at least play one more song and see if you can bang out a couple more, because this is fun. So Hercules, let's go with song number two.
This is called Life Raft.
Life Raft, you are my life raft, and I'm drowning in a sea of love. Life Raft, you are my life raft.
Saxophone sneaking in again at the end. That was Life Raft by Stuart Hirsch, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, you really wear your pop 60s influences on your sleeve, buddy. I love that, too.
Oh,
that is
very,
a lot of
very
fun.
60s. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, the first song was written, I wrote the first song by myself. This was the one that I wrote with my friend Larry. And that Life Raft a cappella break, that's all me. That's 15
harmonies.
That's
awesome. I was gonna ask if that was you, on all those different. Made me think a little bit of For the Longest Time, right? The Billy Joel song.
Yeah,
where
sure.
He does all those
sure.
harmonies. It's all him, and they're all just layered
yeah.
on. So, we got to wrap it up here now, Stuart. Again, thank you again so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
Always love talking about Chiller. Really love talking about your dad. I loved hearing your music and sharing that with folks. So again, I look forward to having you come back again in October.
Thank
for
you, John.
For a sixth time.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Your show is fantastic, and it's always great to be a part of it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. That means so much to me, man. Folks, Chiller Theater, www.chillertheaterre.com at Parsippany Hilton, April 26th, 27th, and 28th. I think that's how those dates go.
Yep.
Go on by. If you see Stuart, give him a high five. But, boy, again, relive your childhood, capture some magic, have fun, buy some really cool stuff, and then stick around for the rock and roll party. later on Saturday night. Folks, you can always find me at the Joker's Child in Fairlawn, New Jersey, and we will see you back here again Sunday, May 5th, and the day before that, Sunday, May 4th, is Free Comic Book Day. So not only come to the Joker's Child in Fairlawn for some free comic books, but you could do that across this entire great nation of ours. So definitely put that on your calendar and then come back here for another pep talk on May 5th. Until then, folks, all the love in the world won't stop the rain from falling, but it can't rain all the time. Thank you very much for listening to the Pep Talk.
Awesome. That was fun.
Timed that poorly.
That was great. That was a lot of fun.